All right, tonight, very simple subject, the Bible way of dealing with anger. And this is definitely, there's a right way to do it, but most people choose the wrong way of dealing with anger. All right, it doesn't take long to figure out that we live in an angry world. And read the headlines on any given day and you see anger on display in politics and movies, TV shows and sports. Just about everywhere we go, there's anger. Somebody's angry somewhere, somehow. And spend any amount of time in most families, and yes, you'll see some anger expressed sometimes on a daily basis. Not always, but sometimes. And I know there's some families, they can't even get around each other without being angry with each other. So we see that. And sadly, the church hasn't exactly been the poster child for pursuing peace and reconciliation or reconciling conflict in a God-glorifying way over the course of our history. And so that's something that we need to work on. All right, even though Jesus broke down the dividing wall of hostility so that we can have peace. Of course, he was talking to the Gentiles. Paul was writing to the Gentiles, telling them that while once you were separated, now Christ broke down the wall. We're all one family. And if we will work towards being one family, we can have peace. The problem is, people in their selfish ways, they don't want peace. They want to do things their way. And that's the biggest destroyer of peace, is selfishness. The biggest problem anywhere in this world is selfishness. And so we see that. All right. So it's inevitable. Wherever there are relationships, sinful anger will be expressed. By nature, in a sense, we're all selfish. Because we were born that way. When we came out of the womb, first thing we did, if we were hungry, we screamed until we got what we wanted, right? Yeah, exactly. You're no exception. You did it too. I mean, that's just the way things go. And if we get a little comfortable downstairs, we need a change, and so we scream. And hopefully somebody will take care of us there. But anyway, as we grow, we learn to be more independent, so we learn not to be so selfish. Sadly, some people do not grow out of that selfishness. And so we have to deal with that. I'm no exception, you're no exception. So, like I say, cut me off in traffic, I might have some words for you. Of course, with my windows up, of course. Not like the guy I talked about this morning in our class. And I wouldn't use any bad language, but what an idiotic move that person made. And they got to be some sort of dummy, can't they read the sign or something like that? But anyway, I might have some words about that. And a lot of our anger that is expressed is because of frustration. And sometimes there are just some things you cannot abide. And really, stupidity is one of those things for me. I just really do not like that. All right, so do something I perceive as disrespectful? Watch out. I may get a little passive-aggressive and withdraw from interacting with you because I have a heart of fear. So, yeah, make me mad. Say something about my mama. And guess what? Now, in my case, I might agree with you. But, you talk to anybody about their mama, guess what? They get a little bit defensive. And sometimes pretty quickly say, hey, you better take that back. So, yeah, it happens like that. And so there is fear included in some of this. And if you just reject me, maybe I'll get insecure, defensive. I may punish you by not talking to you. You know, in a marriage relationship, that's very powerful. When the other one doesn't talk, I mean, that sends a message, a very strong message. But sometimes people can't withhold themselves, and it gets violent sometimes. So that's how deceptive sin can be. And it affects our ability to think reasonably and rationally. We get all so bent out of shape, we can't have cool heads when we're all out of shape. It just doesn't happen. And so, while I'm not immune, I am also certain I'm not alone in my struggle. Because God said there is a way to get around these problems. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, God provides a way of escape. And if he put that in his Bible, I know I'm not so unique that I'm the only one he's talking to. This is for everybody. Everybody needs to know these things. And so God in his grace and mercy, his kindness, his patience and love has made us alive through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. We read about that in Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. And it's through his grace that made all this possible. And it's only because of him that I'm pursuing humility and meekness as a way of life. Because that's what God wants from each and every one of us. He wants us to live a life of meekness and humility. And if we don't exhibit those characteristics, he has no use for us. So we need to be doing those things. Now, some, if not many of you, have problems with anger. And that's true. I've seen it sometimes, and I know, of course, I haven't been around here that long enough to see some of y'all blow up yet, but I'm sure you have in the past, and I know because it's happened in other places, and people get angry. Some people get angry because you tell them the truth. They don't like that, and they get angry about it. Maybe you say something about their mama, and yeah, they get angry about that. But anyway, as God's children, we can all make this journey of change together. We came out of the world. We were transformed out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so there is a process of growth that we need to do together and help each other along the way. That's why we're studying what we do on Sunday mornings. It's a very good study that talking about our relationships and how we can get along with these things. So here's some things I've learned over the years in my fight against sinful anger. And like I say, some of you may have experienced the same thing. Some of you will probably agree with what I have to say. So pay attention to that, and then just make sure we make the application so that we can control ourselves when things don't go our way. So understanding and applying these truths to your own life will help you overcome sinful anger and hopefully see sustained fruit. See, anger appears in three forms. Explosive and blowing up. The stewing, the brewing, the silent indignation. And irritability, exasperation, embitterment. Maybe frustration. And so anger comes in those three forms. Silent anger is just as offensive to God as explosive anger. If you harbor it in your heart, remember what God says about that? If it's in your heart, it's like you're doing it yourself. And so I can be angry and pound somebody, or I can just despise them. And God doesn't treat that any differently. It is still wrong as far as God is concerned. And so, we need to look and examine how prone we are to express our anger. Some people have no problem just letting it out. Start screaming at you and hollering and cussing at you maybe. And they express their anger just as loud as they can, hoping to get your attention. Others just get over there and just... You know, and mumble themselves all the time. I mean, you don't like that either, do you? No, especially when it comes from the kids. When they get, okay, that's when we usually say, "I'll give you something to cry about." But anyway, we know what that means. All right. So anyway, yeah. And then we just get sometimes so frustrated. I can't deal with this. And how many times have you heard that? I just can't deal with this. And so maybe go outside, take a walk around the block or whatever, just to get away from it for a short time. Anger hurts relationships. We know that's the case. You choose who is on the receiving end of your anger because anger is a perceived threat to something you hold valuable. Whether you realize it, if you get angry, it's because you're worried about something. You're afraid somebody's going to take something away from you or deprive you of something that you want to do. And that's why you get angry. When you take the bottle out of the kid's mouth, what does he do? Okay, well, you can have some now. No, he starts screaming because he wants it back. And that's the way kids are. So, you feed them until they're full, till they get what they want. Then you can take the bottle out of the mouth. And so, yeah, that for that moment, that bottle is so valuable to that baby. And so, we understand that. The problem is we can go a whole day at work being nice to our coworkers, only to lose it at home with those closest to us. You know, there's a lot of people do that. You know, if you lose your temper at work, you might get fired. So you don't do that. But as soon as you get home, you take it out on the kids. You take it out on the wife or the husband. You just let it loose. And feelings get hurt that way. There's harm that takes place. So we tend to take it out on those we are called to love the most. Our families. We really do. And so the question is, who has been on the receiving end of your anger the most? Think about it. Really, the people you spend the most time with are the ones who's going to receive the brunt of your anger. You just can't help it. Now, anger is in the Bible, and it's dealt with in several ways. The Bible has a lot to say about it. From the beginning in the garden all the way to the end, man's anger is expressed by rejecting God and pursuing his own way. Man doesn't like somebody telling them what to do. Does anybody? You think about that. Someone tells you what to do. Well, if I want to keep my job, I'm going to do what the boss tells me. And so, yeah, that's what we put up with that because of being able to keep our job. But just all the time, when we don't get our way, we have a tendency to get angry. And man's anger does not accomplish God's righteous purpose. It doesn't do any good. Now, I will say this. When my boss came through and chewed me out and everything, I said, "You feel better now?" "Well, yeah, I do." I mean, they'll tell you that. "I feel better now that I screamed at you and hollered at you and told you what I thought of you. I mean, yeah, I feel better now." What did it accomplish? Didn't accomplish anything positive, I know that. Maybe a little bit of resentment. Or maybe he should have checked his facts before he started screaming or something like that. So, yeah, it does happen that way. See, while God too can be angry, it is never sinful. And these passages tell us that God has a righteous indignation. He does not like sin. Sin is an abomination to him. He literally despises it. He hates it. He cannot stand it. He will not tolerate sin. If only we could get in that same character of mind that we won't tolerate sin either. But we do every day, don't we? We put up with it. We deal with it. But God will not. See, compared to the offenses he must suffer, he is very slow to anger. When you think about people turning their back on him, just rejecting him outright, you know, there, you really think about it, there's very few times when God sent his anger out. When Uzzah put his hands up to stay the ark, the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah and he struck him dead. I mean, how often do you hear the anger of the Lord burned against somebody? You really don't. But you know what? As the apostles started talking about this in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. Really, when we sin, the penalty is death. And that's what we deserve. We deserve death. But luckily, God is slow to anger. And he tells us about that in the scriptures. And we should be very thankful for that. Because when was the last time you made a mistake? Were you waiting for the lightning bolt to zap you? I mean, well, we've gotten to the point where, well, we know he's not going to do that. I mean, his zapping is going to come at the end when we stand before him and says, depart from me. That's going to be a zapping for sure. But anyway, we can be very thankful he doesn't strike us dead. In the New Testament age, only three people were put to death in a miraculous way. Ananias and Sapphira and then Herod. So those were the only ones that are mentioned in the scriptures. But the result was the fact that the church grew. It accomplished God's purpose. So think about this question. Does your anger accomplish God's purpose? You got to think about that. When your children go out and do something that is sinful, you get angry with them because you know God is not pleased with that. And you know if they're allowed to continue that, they could lead them down the path that will lead to eternal destruction. And so you don't want to do that. So you express your disappointment in a very harsh way. And yes, you do have a right to be angry. But you have to also keep in mind that in order to accomplish God's purpose, there's a reason behind it and the reason we have to do it. When you think about it, anger put Jesus on the cross. And the anger of man and God's wrath for our sins culminated into Jesus when he went to the cross to pay the penalty for sin. Jesus had a lot of enemies. We know that. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they all hated Jesus. He made them mad. He said, he called them hypocrites. He called them vipers. He called them all sorts of names and they didn't like it. He told the truth. The people listened to Jesus. They liked what he had to say. And they stopped listening to the leaders. The leaders got upset about it. So they wanted to see him dead. And so from that viewpoint, yes, the anger of man put Jesus on the cross. But remember, God hates sin. And Jesus was the only remedy for sin. So that's why Jesus had to die. So he could pay that remedy, pay that price for the penalty of our sins. So Jesus satisfied God's wrath and allowed man to express their anger towards him at the same time, man rejecting God, God loving man, in the very same event in human history. That's what we see at the cross. So how often do you reject God in your anger by not doing what he calls you to do? And that's really all it is. You reject God because you're angry. You say, oh no, I could never be angry with God. If you think you're going to lose something, you're going to get angry. But have you ever felt that maybe God is angry with you? Think about that. When you do something you shouldn't have done, is God angry with me or is he pleased with me? If we've done something we shouldn't have done, we know the answer. And what we have to do about it. We have to repent and ask for forgiveness. See, anger is covered by Christ's blood up until a point. See, the blood of Christ is sufficient to cover your sinful anger. And if you've expressed in the past when your sins are washed away by his blood. But no matter what wrath has protruded from your mouth or what you've done physically to harm others or yourself, you can be forgiven and walk in newness of life. Anger is a sin, and death of Christ is payment enough to cover it. If you have died with Christ, you became a different person. And do you believe and live as if your anger is covered by the blood of Christ, or do you act like his blood isn't sufficient? And we probably ought to say here that we're speaking of past anger. See if we continue being angry with others. It is a continual sin. And continuing sins are not covered by the blood of Christ. That's something we have to understand. We get this idea, well, Christ's blood covers everything. Yeah, everything has happened in the past, but it doesn't cover the sins we continue to sin, whatever those sins might be. And if we continue being angry, God is not pleased with that, and His blood will not cover that. Anger is a life-dominating sin. Just like any other addiction, we become enslaved to it. If you get angry with somebody, you are their slave. It holds you and grips you. And when you're angry with somebody, you can't think of anything nice about them. You can't think about other things. You're just so upset with this one individual that it just burns at you. And it has you. It has you entrapped when it does that. See, it temporarily satisfies our sinful desire and flesh, yet we feel guilty and ashamed when we give full vent to it. See, we're okay being angry, but if we go out and pound somebody, well, we shouldn't have done that. We understand that. And we feel bad because we let our anger get the better of us. How many people do you know feel the same way? When they let the anger get the better of themselves? I know it happens in a lot of families. In your household too. But it is nothing more than a vicious cycle of self-destruction. So are you stuck in one of those cycles? If so, you can be free. See, you can put all this stuff in the past. And that's where we need to put all of our sin. In the past. Keep it back there. And don't repeat those things. Anger is an expression of false worship. Like all other addictions, anger has false worship at its core. When you express your anger sinfully, ask yourself, what am I not getting that I really want or that I'm willing to sin to get? I mean, there's something about it. If you're not getting what you really want, what's it going to stop? What's going to stop you from getting what you really want? You know, some people, they don't care. If they want it, they're going to do it. They're going to get it, whatever it might be. And they're willing to do anything for that moment, for that high. You know, like those who addict to drugs. They'll do any, if they have to go rob somebody and take their money from them just to get enough to buy that next high. We hear about this. That's a problem that plagues our society. And it just continues. So what are you living for each and every moment? Something else has captured your heart more than God. That's what happens when you want these things. And you're seeking a false refuge. And that is called idolatry. Something more important than God is idolatry. And you are guilty of that. So what captured your heart more than God? Now, anger is often just a fruit. When you think about it, it usually has fear at the root, and more specifically, it is the fear of man. Now, while anger may be all we can see at times, at the heart of it is a fearful, insecure, unsafe, untrusting heart looking for something from man that only God can satisfy. When someone is angry with you and they are screaming at you, this is what you need to think about. They are fearful. They are insecure. They are unsafe. They are untrusting. That's it. When we can learn to love God more with reverent awe and fear, because then we'll need to learn to fear people less. We don't need to be afraid of people. You know, it's kind of like the big boy on the block. The one who screamed the loudest, right? You get out there, somebody expresses something displeasure, and you raise your voice, they raise their voice, whoever can speak the loudest, yeah, they think they're winning. They're the most insecure of all. Because they have to resort to maybe even violence to get their way or not be deprived of what they want. Remember, 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. And we are perfectly loved by our Heavenly Father. And if we would remember that, we wouldn't worry about all these idiots out there, would we? All the idiots on the road, the idiots on TV, idiots in the press and the politics. We wouldn't be worried about those idiots out there because they don't have God in their life. But we who have God in our life, we shouldn't be acting like that. Now, in some cases, anger can be righteous. It can be right. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin." What are we going to be angry about? We express righteous anger by becoming angry about what angers God. What angers God? Disobedience. Yeah, we need to speak about that. If people are being disobedient, we've got to tell them about that. And we need to be upset about that. Because if we don't, if people are sinning and we don't say anything, we're not warning them about the consequences. And here they're going to be going off into eternal destruction. And we shouldn't wish that upon anybody. And so we should be warning them. See, Jesus died not only to free you from sinful anger, but to enable you to be angry with God and not at God. We can be angry when we see people promoting all sorts of sin as an acceptable lifestyle. That should make us angry with the righteous indignation that God has. God hates it. God doesn't like it. But it's okay. No, it's not okay. We can never have that attitude. So is your anger expressed righteously or sinfully? And hopefully by now you know the difference. Anger must be surrendered. And this is where the point of this lesson comes to. We've got to give it up. The only way out is to surrender your anger to God. Turn it over to Him. Remember, He cares for you. Cast your burdens on Him because He cares for you. Don't try and control or manage it in your flesh because that's just going to fester up. God is the judge, not you or me. So let God be the judge. James 4:11-12 talks about that. So, are you ready to step down from the throne of your mini judgment seat and allow God to be God? When we speak evil things about people, we are basically saying, "God, get out of my way. I'm going to handle this myself." That's what we do. We tell God, "Go off into your corner. I'm going to do this myself." And that's what happens when we get angry. We push God aside. But we need to allow God to be God. And really, God will get you for that, is all we need to say. Maybe we say it verbally, out loud, or they got their day coming. Sometimes we have to do that because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear any chastisement from the Lord. They want to do their own thing. Well, guess what? They have their day coming. The Bible talks about that day, and it's not going to be a pleasant day. But also the Bible says that day will give those who are righteous relief because of all the oppression that has come upon us. If we remain faithful, the fact that God has this day coming, it'll be a relief for us. Remember Romans 12:18-21. "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." When we decide to take vengeance out on somebody, we've pushed the Lord aside, said, "Get out of my way. I'm going to do it my way." When we know better, we should be doing things God's way. If you have anger in your heart, you cannot go to heaven unless it's that righteous anger that we talked about. Understanding that sin of any sort is going to keep people out of heaven, we've got to warn them. We've got to do our best to help them. If they choose to reject it, well, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. but put away the anger. You must find a way to remove this horrible sin from your character. And you know who you are. I don't know all of you that well. Some of you may just get out there and just scream all day long at your family members. You just might do that. Or you might go to work and scream at your employees or something. I don't know you that well. But if you have that horrible sin, find a way to get rid of it. You follow God's direction, and fulfilling His purpose is the only way that that is going to be effective. Doing it God's way. God's ways are always right. They are always the best. When man tries to do things, he tries to do things without God, and he's a failure. Whatever system we are under, if man tries to do it their way, it's going to fail. When you do things God's way, it's going to be successful. So God will help you remove the anger that you have. You just have to determine that you want to get rid of it. So consider those words. We're going to sing our invitation song. And if there's anybody here who needs to make a confession, needs to change their life in some way, we stand ready to assist you while together we stand and sing.